everyone. Welcome to Define the Relationship podcast. I'm Darlene.
And I'm Ted.
And we're your co-hosts for today and most days. Last week, we began our introduction to a five-week cell group class course.
Intensive.
Intensive but joyful experience on healing haunted histories. It is a process that some of you have signed up for, and perhaps others are just listening on the podcast, where we are going to be challenged and wrestle with indigenous settler relationships and reconciliation. So if you are coming to this conversation and haven't listened to the previous one, go back and just listen to that, as that gives some really important introductory information. For today, I want to walk us through our first session to help you prepare for the session this Sunday. And Ted and I are going to model it by sharing a bit of the answers to the questions ourselves, and hopefully give you an idea of what we're going to be discussing this Sunday. And at Seeds, for quite a few years already, we've often used the analogy of a red dot. It is that place, if you're walking a trail or if you're entering a space you're not familiar with, a mall, and you have to figure out where you are in order to understand where you're going. You have to kind of, you have that red dot or a star, or whatever, that says you are here. And I think that's a really important place to begin this conversation, for us to do some reflecting and thinking about where we are on this map of settler, indigenous work, relationship, thinking, feeling. And there's a lot there. And of course, we're not going to be able to kind of even get at that all on Sunday. So I think this is also why it's important to do some thinking ahead of time about, where are you? What's your red dot on this conversation? What does it bring up in you? Where do you find yourself? So I'm going to ask Ted that question, and then he's going to ask me that question. So Ted, what, you know, really another way to think about is like, what's your red dot? But why are you here? What brings you to this conversation? Where are you right now?
Yeah, so this might sound like a cheeky answer, but like right now I'm in our room that we call the Addition in Altona, Manitoba, and in front of a fire. And I mean, it seems like a bit of like an obvious answer to the red dot is actually, where are you physically, geographically? But acknowledging actually that physical geographical space is an important part of red dotting, I think. One of the things that I've learned in the past year, actually working through some of the process that we're going to be doing, is that my great-great-grandfather was born about 800 meters from where we are sitting right now doing this podcast. And I only realized that in the last year. And so that's kind of like, I don't know if it's something that it's a haunting, but it's sort of like something that's been in the background that I wasn't aware of. We've lived in this house for 31 years in this community. And, you know, there's lots of history about how we found ourselves here. And it's just kind of hit me more recently about how I'm actually very, very close to an ancestor's birthplace. And so it's not just my 31 years of living here that's significant. My family, extended family, has been in this area for a long time. So that's something that comes to mind right away, is just the fact that we're in this place where we are. I think more thinking about the the conversation about settler indigenous reconciliation, it's not easy for me to say like kind of what some of the milestones have been, but I know that I've been, along with you and others in this community, a process of understanding and learning more about our history in this place, and specifically how my footprint in this area and the historical footprint of my ancestors has had an impact on the people that were here before us. So we've heard stories from Indigenous people. We've gotten to know people whose lineages go back to the, you know, thousands of years in this place. And we've learned about the harms of things like residential schools. This is something that's a very contemporary experience of people right now. We've heard lots about the harms of residential schools. We've learned about the harm of the Indian Act. We've been swimming in this reconciliation conversation for decades. And so I feel like we are constantly being invited to wrestle with what we can be doing better. I've often found that Maya Angelou quote, we do the best we can based on what we know, but when we know better, we are invited to do better. And I feel like that's kind of been a journey we've been on, and I'm hoping that we can learn more, which will allow us to do better in this process. So that's all I'll say for now.
Okay. Thank you.
How about yourself? Where do you go when you think about your red dot?
If I think in this actual moment too, I would recognize just internally a feeling of anticipation and stress and fear, maybe. There's a lot of kind of feelings swirling around about this. Some excitement and some, I want to get it right.
Right.
Maybe that's, I want this to be good. So that's part of my just personal red dot. But I think, kind of my current location around this relationship is a shift that's happened in the last couple of years from kind of learning about history or knowledge about the past for Indigenous people to the last few years, kind of getting closer and getting more intimate with my story within that. And so you used a Maya Angelou quote. I'm going to use just a Brené Brown sentence. Just kind of came to me right in this moment about how, like, when you get uncomfortable, when something is uncomfortable, like, get closer, you know? So I think my red dot now is, and this has been through thesis work in the last couple of years, thinking specifically about Indigenous history and my current relationships or lack of relationships and my own family story and my own like social, physical, geographical location here. And so it feels as if my red dot is getting more tangled, in a good way, but an uncomfortable way in terms of thinking about like what is my relationship? What was my family's relationship? What is our church's relationship to ROSO, to Indigenous people in our community? So just allowing, I think, allowing the relationship to become less of, well, this is an issue in our world, to let's look at the stories, including my own story and the community that I give leadership story. You know, what is the story that has that where we find where we that has contributed to what where we find ourselves today? So that's kind of my red dot, is that it's and also I'll just say that it's become even more personal because this fall I've been involved in a circle with a group of Indigenous women and settler women. And so, you know, I would say the faces of Indigenous people are becoming a little closer. And before it was just a lot more like something more distant, something I wasn't so connected to. So yeah, that's kind of how I start this conversation. With a lot of hope and anticipation and some fear and that I'm getting closer to actual faces and people, my own and others.
Yeah, that's really good. Some of the thoughts I had as you were sharing about your red dot was just kind of the complicated nature of sort of the personal kind of stories and, you know, like the very kind of close to us, like our families and our people and people we know and people that we interact with. These are our neighbors in this community, literally. And so there's that personal part. And then the more I've kind of become aware of this whole process of reconciliation, just then we get into the systemic and the structures and powers and things like colonization and just the big stuff. And they all kind of come together in this conversation. And so that makes me feel always overwhelmed by entering into this. And so that, you know, like what can we accomplish? Where can we go? What good can come out of it? Kind of feel like, you know, is it even possible? So
I think that informs, I think, what, like when we ask the question, why are you here?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, I'm here, and what I'm hearing from you is like, we're here because we have a dream for, we have a desire for things to be more whole, for there to be healing. This is why it's called healing haunted history, is that there's actually a hope that there can be, that there's hope for healing, and that there's hope for the flourishing of Indigenous people and for the flourishing of settler people, because we have all been formed and misformed by colonization and by our histories.
Mm-hmm.
So this is really a work of healing for us all.
Definitely.
Okay, so that's kind of what we want you to think about is what brings you to this conversation. What is your red dot? And we'll have some opportunities to share that in small groups, but try to do some thinking about that beforehand.
And I would say, I mean, hopefully there's some people who aren't going to be a part of the course still listening into the podcast and have interest in the conversation. So if you want to, you know, send us an email or there is a contact form on our seedschurch.ca website where most of the podcasts and the information around the course will be fixed. You know, enter the conversation. I'm sure we might learn something from where you're coming from.
The second question is, how did we get here? And really specifically, really practically, how did you end up in this space in Altona, Manitoba, on the Buffalo Creek watershed? So we're asking everyone to choose a one family line and person to learn about and to explore. So of course we could choose from different family lines, but just for the purposes of this short time together, choose one family line and one person to learn about. And we're also asking that everybody bring a symbol of that line, a symbol of that person. It can be a picture, it can be an object, something to represent who kind of you're bringing into the conversation with you. So Ted, you've already shared a little bit about a person. Is that the person that you're following, or who are you bringing with to this conversation?
Well, I think it should be said that Darlene and I were a part of a course in June where we did this kind of intensive work for a week. And so we come to it having done some of our own homework. So I identified my grandfather, Dietrich Dick, who is my dad's dad. So I decided to go through my dad's line. And when I did that, I kind of, I didn't know before that going back to my great-grandfather to the power of three, so I would have to say great-great-great-grandfather, who also had the same name as my grandfather. It was Dietrich. I guess Dietrich was kind of like the Johnny of the time or something, because I've got three Dietrichs in my line. And I found that my great-great-great-grandparent came to Manitoba in 1874 with the first group of Mennonites that arrived in this part of the world. So there were 7,000 of them that came. And it always kind of right away connects for me how close to the historical moment of the signing of Treaty 1 in the same area that happened in 1871. So I immediately found myself asking questions about, just the significance of that time period and what was all going on and what could I learn about it? So that's where I started. And that person, Dietrich, to the power of three, ended up settling just east of the Red River. And then later on, his son and his son's son came in 1876, and they found their way to this part of the world, which is west of the Red River here in what was known as the West Reserve. And so that's kind of where we came from. What I learned right away was that the reason why they came is that their possibilities back in the Ukraine of Russia, they came from the Bergtal colony of Russia, were pretty bleak. Like there was zero opportunity. And by opportunity there, it meant there was no opportunity to hold land, to farm. And they heard the call from the Dominion of Canada that was just a little baby. It had begun in 1867, and they were saying, come and settle space. There is space to be settled in the prairies of Canada. And they thought, well, this will be better than where they found themselves. So that's what I chose. I don't want to get too much into it today because we could go on. And I think next week's podcast, we're probably going to more specifically focus on some of the questions, like what pushed or pulled them to this place. And, my grandpa Dietrich is the person that I chose. I think part of it too is like one thing I got from him is I think I got his hair. So, I mean, I'm very thankful for that. My dad had less hair than most. But Grandpa Dietrich had a good head of hair, and I think I might have got that from him.
Okay, and I chose, at the time that we took this course, it was in June, and I chose my dad's line, and that felt important to me in processing, continuing to process the grief of losing my dad in spring. So it felt good to, in a sense, be close to him as I explored more of his story and my story because of him. So my dad, was born in Neuendorf, Ukraine, and he, found his way to Canada after the war, the Second World War, 1948. And he came first to Steinbach and then to Winnipeg very shortly, like a couple of months in Steinbach maybe, and then in Winnipeg. So that is the line that I chose to explore. And I don't know, maybe now is it a good time to introduce landlines, bloodlines, and songlines? Or
yeah, maybe. Like, we're going to be using a model of investigation and exploring of our family lines that Elaine Enns and Ched Myers share in their book Healing Haunted Histories, which hopefully you have a copy of it. And it's an idea of kind of three intersecting lines that we each bring with us. And the landlines are the question of where did we come from, the where, the geography, and where did we come to, and how did we move around? Like part of we speak as settlers, and part of settling is where we found ourselves settled as people, where we set up shop or where we set up communities. And so we want to explore that. What caused people to leave where they were and travel to where they ended up being? And of course, we're doing this conversation here in southern Manitoba. And so
so you can already think about the landlines as the place where they came from, to where, when, and what caused them to travel.
Yeah.
Bloodlines is you know, what is making you choose this particular ancestor? What do you know about their stories? What are the things you would like to know? Are there any important silences? Is it kind of like, wow, it's interesting, there's nothing said about this? Kind of like when you're talking about your great-great-grandfather being in this very same place at the same time as Treaty One, and yet there's a lot of silence about that. So that's interesting. Just kind of things to be curious about. So that's bloodlines. And then songlines is kind of like the what is animating your hopes for justice and healing. So songlines can be like what faith traditions did your ancestors lean on. It could be literally songs. It's like, what is the spirit almost of your hopes for justice and healing? So we'll get more into the specifics of landlines, bloodlines, and songlines.
Yeah, we just wanted you to start thinking in this way, and we'll be doing more kind of in-depth work next week, and we'll be modeling like some of the more specific questions and getting more into our own particular details.
Yeah.
But we want you to start thinking that way. We're not going to be in this first session talking about that specifically, but we want you to start positioning yourself for that conversation.
Right. So we just have one more thing to do for this podcast, and that is to go over a few terms that we're going to be using a lot. And these terms are also in your workbook that I think will be emailed. Have they already been emailed out?
No, they have not already been emailed. Hopefully by the time this comes out, then you'll be...
have access to the workbook, yeah. Which is like a PDF. It's not going to be in physical form unless you... If you want it to be in physical form, you can print it off or you can always ask us.
I think we'll give you also maybe a Google document, something that you can do your work in. So if you want to use it to type in your answers to the questions and kind of create your own workbook, because we really want people to engage, not just in their minds with the questions. We want people to actually write stuff down for themselves. So yeah, terms and definitions sounds really exciting, but it's really important in this conversation. We recognize that everybody has a different capacity or interest in going in depth on things. And so in the workbook, we're using a recent internet kind of shorthand to help people, and that's the TLDR shorthand, which is too long, didn't read, And so we're giving people short answers. So if you want to get the nugget, read the TLDR. And if you want to get more in depth, read the longer stuff. I mean, of course, you will benefit more by going more in depth, but we understand that not everybody will have the time to do that. So so there's a bunch of them in the workbook. Like, what is a settler? We use this term, settler indigenous. You know, settlers simply people who have settled in a place and have become a part of or complicit in the sidelining of indigenous peoples. So settlers are all over the planet. And, you know, we could talk, we want to think about our own Canadian settler history. And not everybody in the class has come as settlers to this area. Some people have come as immigrants from other parts of the world more recently and are part of the class. So it might be a good question. Do you even feel like you're a settler? But the idea is that this conversation of reconciliation is really between settler peoples and indigenous peoples. And we are not the indigenous peoples. We were not here before we came here. So obviously.
I saw a definition in my notes of settler colonialism as the management of those who have been made killable.
Well, that's hard-hitting.
Yeah.
Why don't we talk about settler colonialism, because that's another term there. I think this is in contrast to classical colonialism. We have many examples in world history of empires, be it the British Empire, the French Empire, you know, moving into parts of the world and doing their best to extract the resources and the riches of places. But they had very little interest in settling down there and having communities develop. So Africa is a continent that has a long history of imperial colonizers coming in and coming to take either diamonds or chocolate or whatever the resources is and kind of extract them. Now that's traditional colonialism. Settler colonialism is more of what we've experienced here in Canada, the US, Australia, South Africa even, where colonizers have come in and have tried to settle the land and take resources, of course, but also make a life there. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the air and the thinking of settler colonialism and how that impacts us to this day and how we think about. And the way you talked about there, that was kind of a harsh definition, saying that, you know, we get to the point where we understand that some people are just not as important as other people.
Yes. Another term is haunting. So, of course, the word haunting is in the title of the course. And I want to encourage us to think about it as the historical realities that are known or unknown. They really play a role in our present lived realities. The notion of haunting is kind of like a springboard for the work that we want to do, that the processes of history are all a part of us. They're a part of us, but we don't have an inventory, actually. And so it's kind of like this haunting and this silence that is that we carry around with us, in the sense that it's all part of us, but we don't have a good inventory. And part of our work is to heal those hauntings.
So it's kind of like there's a saying that says, what you don't know can't hurt you. And the haunting perspective of history suggests, yes, the things that you don't know actually impact you greatly. And the process of interrogating what we might not know, or silences where we might say, why is there silence on that particular aspect of life, when we all acknowledge that that kind of thing happens. So, the haunting piece is a big part. You know, we're not talking about ghosts in the spooky sense. We're talking about the ghosts of things that we don't know about, and how they impact us.
And it is spooky. It kind of is, right?
I mean, we're getting close to Halloween, so I guess maybe it's appropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess...
We kind of talked about settler colonialism. Yeah. Or do you want to say more about
that? Yeah, I think maybe we'll leave it at that, actually, for now. We can... Okay. Maybe we can have a bit of a terms and definitions corner each time, so we don't get completely run over by terms.
But can we also just say the one term, restorative solidarity?
Go for it.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'll just end with that one. And that is when we use the term restorative solidarity, it is the process that we are entering into in this course is as settlers working to understand and to heal the impacts of settler colonialism in our time and place. In other words, it's our work to try to make things right. And not just make things right for other people, but for ourselves as well.
Yeah, and I think it's important to we can't overemphasize that. Making things right is not simply actions or movements to do something for others. But making things right is a process of doing our own work.
Yeah.
And, you know, we are, as settler people, one of the things that we have agency in is to actually understand our own histories and understand how we might have related with Indigenous peoples and take it seriously and not be too quick to kind of say, well, you know, those people didn't know much back then like we know now, so we can't hold them responsible. And I feel like just being able to sit with some maybe hard realities about how things work their ways out, and maybe we will have a chance to learn from other people some things that we didn't know about that history.
Yeah, I think it's so easy to want to tie something up in a bow, and I think this process of us being together in the next 5 weeks is going to be uncomfortable in that we're going to try to resist the temptation to just come up with a quick answer or something that would make us feel better. Or even just to repeat what we think what we've heard other people say. So that's the beginning.
Yeah,
that's what we're looking forward to this Sunday. And it gives you some homework for the weekend when you're outside doing some yard work or cozying up inside.
That's a great thing about this podcast. You can stack wood or rake leaves, mow the lawn, go for a walk, and you can take some of these questions in. And what's that?
Bake a cake.
Even very nice. Just a few quick things to remember. The time that we're meeting is going to be 9 a.m. in the auditorium at the Community Exchange. We're going to start right at 9 a.m. So please come early, get your coffee, get your chatty connections with people that you haven't seen all week, and we'll get going right at 9 a.m. The podcast, you'll be able to hear it via the seedschurch.ca website. There's going to be a page devoted to this course. And the workbook will be found there as well. And that page is going to be continually updated as we add more content. Reminder to choose that ancestor, that one family line, and bring a symbol or a picture that represents that person or that line. And for many of us in this course, we are part of kind of the Mennonite settler community that came to this place, and we're going to make available a genealogy tool that will allow you to access your ancestry for people of Mennonite background. It's called Grandma Online, and so we have set up a Seeds account that you're able to use. We'll have the password and information so you can access that stuff. So thanks so much for joining us
today.